This is chapter number 4. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through a series in the books of the book of Genesis, and we're just going to start off here as a springboard, and then we're going to head into the rest of the message here. Genesis chapter number 4. We're going to look at the last two verses in Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4, and the Bible says, in verse number 25, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth." Last week we looked at Cain and Abel. We saw how that Cain slew Abel, and here we see Adam, once again, Adam and Eve having a child, and his name was Seth. For God said, "She hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos." Now, this last phrase is what we're going to start off in the message with. "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, you get to that first spot in the Bible where we have someone praying and seeking after God. Now, I'm sure that there was other times when they came to God and they used sacrifice and they came to God the way that God told them to. But we have here, for some reason, in the Word of God, marked that after Cain had slew Abel, and you see a distinction in the two lines going, you get one group of the world that's going to live for themselves, going the way of Cain, and then you have another group that wants to live for God, and you see that they begin to do something. What do? They begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I like that phrase, and what goes in my imagination and my thinking is, we need to learn how to call upon the Lord. And I tell you, one of the things that I think is remarkable about a mother is many times a mother is known for their prayers. I don't know how many times I sat in a room after a lady has passed away and their family sitting there, and sometimes they're discussing how they remember hearing their mother pray for them. Remembering how their mother would weep for them. And here this is where we're going to get the message today is a praying mothers. Praying mothers. In the Bible here, it tells us, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, why in the world do men have to call upon the Lord? Why do we pray? What is the purpose of our prayers? We say, God tells us, yes, God tells us to pray, but why do we need to pray? And here's what I think came to, and there isn't a lot of commentary on that last phrase because I think it may be a little bit harder to understand. But here, let me give you my thoughts. Is that after Cain had slew Abel, the world was kind of turned upside down. Now, some people imagine that Cain was the only one there alive and Abel were the only one alive. So just because the Bible doesn't mention, I think that Cain and Abel had many brothers and sisters. You know, where did Cain's wife come from? It had to be, since Eve was the mother of all living, it either had come from being a sister or maybe a niece. Here's the thought. Man realized they needed God. And when man realized they needed God, they began to call out to him. You know, there's another verse that uses that terminology, called upon the name of the Lord. It's found in Romans 10:13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." See, if you're a Christian this morning, there was a moment in time in your life where you realized you needed God. And as you need God, you call upon him. And the Bible says, if you call upon him and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, he will save you. If you repent of your sins, you see your need as a sinner, and you cry out to God and believing and trusting in the fact that Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again, the Bible says he will save you. Now, here's the thought for this morning. Praying mothers. There's been years of stories, many times when people have talked about how their sons and daughters heard their mother praying for them early in the morning or late at night, and how it changed their lives. There's even a story told about the man came to D.L. Moody. He said that this man explained to Moody that when he was going to the Mexican War, he wanted to enlist, but his mother said that she didn't want him to leave. Seeing that he was resolved, the mother said, "If you become a Christian, I will allow you to go." She began to plead and beg and prayed that he would become a Christian. But the man said, "I wouldn't." I said when the war was over, I would become a Christian, but not till then. And all her pleading was in vain. And at last, when I was going home, going off to war, she took out a watch from her pocket and said, "My son, my father left this to me when he died. Take it. I want you to remember that every day at the 12 o'clock hour, your mother will be praying for you." Then she gave me her Bible and marked out the passages and put a few different references in the flyleaf. He said, "I took the watch and the Bible just because my mother gave them to me, and I never intended to ever read the Bible. I went off to Mexico, and one day, while on a long, very weary march, I took out my watch, and it said 12 o'clock. I had been gone for 4 months, but I remember that my mother, at that hour, was praying for me. Something prompted me to ask the officer to relieve me for a little while. And I stepped behind a tree and on those plains of Mexico and cried to God, God of my mother, to save me. God saved him, and after the Mexican War was ended, he said, 'I have enlisted again to see if I can do anything good for my master's cause.'" This morning, as we consider a praying mother, I want us to consider a couple things. Now, once again, this message is not just for mothers. We all have great needs. But I think mothers are known, and we've even heard a little bit of singing about them today, about them kneeling. Even the talks about how many of us remember our mother crying out to us. And you say, "Well, my mother wasn't a Christian." And I heard an interesting story this morning. First time I ever heard this story. At least I called my mother. I called my mother early in the morning on Mother's Day morning because I want to be the good kid to talk to her first. So I called her up and I talked to her, and I said, "My brother and sister haven't called yet." They said, "No." And she says, "I'm going to get to see my brother who lives nearby later on that evening." And she says, "Your sister usually calls later on in the evening time after all the dinners and everything's done." And we began to talk, and I thanked her. She was probably one of the greatest influences in my life. She loved the Lord. And I know a lot of people say that on Mother's Day, but spiritually wise, she was one of the greatest influences in my life. I told her, she says, "Is your message ready?" Because she knows that I'm a procrastinator. I wait to the last minute. And even though God's all working on my heart all week long in the messages, many times I'm typing out my message, the final thoughts out Sunday morning around 8:30, just finishing up, putting the finishing touches. She says, "Is your message ready?" Because she knew that I shouldn't be on the phone with her because I probably had work to do. She was worried about me. And I says, "Yes." And I told her what we were praying for. And she says, I said, "We're talking about praying mothers." And I told her, I thanked her for her prayers. And she says, "I probably didn't do it as much as I should." She says, "But I still pray for you now." And that touched my heart. And then she began to cry. And she said, she cries all the time when we talk on Mother's Day. By the time the conversation started, she started whimpering up. And it wasn't because she doesn't like me. It's just that she's an emotional lady. And she said, "My mom and dad got saved at a later age, at least her mother got saved at a later age. My grandfather died when I was really young." And she says, "I didn't have a mom and dad that prayed for me. But," she said, "I had a lady when I was a child came to my house and asked my mom if she could take me and my aunt to church." And she says that lady faithfully took us to church. And she said from that lady taking us to church, she says, "We heard about God. And when we heard about God, we became saved." And she says, "Years later, I saw that lady, and that lady told me," she says, "I pray for you often." And my mom said she thought that all the success that she had in her life, spiritually, one of the main reasons was because she had a spiritual mother that was praying for her. She didn't even know. She didn't even understand. She says after she became older and they had left the church, a few years after she had gotten saved, they had gone on to another church, and she saw her many years later, and that lady said, "I still pray for you often." And my mom said that broke her heart because she realized that someone had been praying for her all this time. Even though it might not have been her biological mother, but her spiritual mother had been praying for her. And she was weeping, saying, "I am so thankful for the lady, for the prayers of that lady, because they made such a difference in my life." And this morning, this is the thought, praying mothers, not just only praying mothers, but praying individuals, make such a difference. And this morning, as I want you to think about this, Where are the praying mothers today? Now, don't get me wrong. If you're a praying mother, praise the Lord for you. We're very thankful for you. I think this message is going to help you this morning just as well as it could help somebody else. But my first thought is a challenge. It's a challenge to join the millions of mothers that have prayed for their children and prayed for their grandchildren. Theodore Roosevelt said, praying mothers are America's greatest assets. Abraham Lincoln says, no man is poor who has a godly mother. A mother understands that they are out of control when it comes to how their kids are going to turn out. They might do their best. They might discipline them. They might love them. They might pray for them. They do all those things. But they know that there's a moment in time when they have to let their child go. And as they had to let their child go, they realize that they had to make the decision for Christ on their own. They realize they have to live for God on their own. And the only hope they have, the only help that they have, is to fall to their knees and seek God and beg God for help. Why did men start to call upon God? I think they started calling upon the Lord because they realized they couldn't live this life on their own. After they saw what happened to Cain, what Cain did to Abel, that they realized how wicked man could be, and they needed to cry out to God. And why do mothers cry out to God? It's because they realize that God is the one that has to do the work in the life of the individuals. But the question for this morning is, where are the praying mothers today? I mean, has the world gotten so much better that the dangers have stopped? Maybe things have just gotten so much better that no longer do we need to pray for our children. No longer do we need to pray for our grandchildren. We all know that's false. We all know that the need is greater than ever, that we go on behalf of our children and grandchildren and those that we love, maybe ones that we have, like the lady who prayed for my mother, that we've won to Christ or tried to disciple and beg God. But where are the praying mothers today? Because those stories are coming farther and farther, being fewer and fewer, farther apart and fewer, because we don't have mothers that pray like they used to. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty, but I think about some of the stories in the Bible, and I want us to enlist people today and call on the mothers to be like the Hannahs that left their children behind, left Samuel behind, and prayed earnestly for them. You think about how Eunice and Lois must have felt as they watched Timothy head out on the missionary journey with Paul, knowing that how dangerous was because of the dangers Paul had in Lystra. We think of the story of Moses, the very day that she let go of that basket. I can only see her in her house later on crying and begging God to take care of her son. And we hear the stories of John Wesley and his mother, Susanna, that raised John in a home, and amongst many, many children would spend at least 2 hours a day praying and spending time discipling their children. George Washington, the father of our country, gives much of his credit. He says, all that I am, I owe to my mother. And he speaks of the prayers that she went to the rock outside their house and would continually pray that God would keep him safe. This morning, are we a church of prayers, praying warriors? More distinctly for our mothers, are we a praying mother like they used to have? Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Lord, there was a time when this world, that man saw their great need, and they began to call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, ever since then, mankind, when they finally come to realize who you are and who they are, know that they need to call on you. Lord, this morning, speak to people's hearts. Help us to see the importance of crying out. Lord, I want you to especially speak to the mothers' hearts today. But Lord, whether your child is young or old, or whether they have grandchildren or maybe nieces or nephews, Lord, speak to their hearts about enlisting and being a praying mother, like we've heard the godly heritage that has been passed down through the years. Lord, help us to learn how to pray. Help us to call upon you. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to take your Bibles now and go to one of my favorite passages of Scriptures, and found in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we have a woman who was not a mother when she began to pray, but after she finished praying for a request, God granted her request, and she became a mother, and then she gave her child back to God. Now, we know, most of us would know that this is the story of Hannah. And we went through 1 Samuel a few years ago on Wednesday night. And I even know that last year we talked a little bit about making a difference through prayer. I get this, but the Lord led me to this message to help us understand some things and just help us to drive some things home. And hopefully we can walk away saying, you know what, I want to be a praying mother. I want to be a praying father. I want to be a praying husband. I want to be a praying wife. I want to be a praying child. I want to be a praying Christian, because we need to seek after God. We know we have a great need in the world that we live in. We need revival. And as we need revival, we need to seek and pray, cry out to God. Do we have people praying like they used to? And I contend with you today that we don't have as many praying mothers as we used to. We don't have as many people seeking God the way they used to. And that's the reason why I believe we don't have as much revival as God would let us to have. And many times why our families fall apart. Not always the case, but many times we don't pray like we could. In this story, we see here the story of Hannah. We're going to read through the story very quickly, and then we're going to drive home a couple points. You say, Pastor, things have gotten tough. Things have gotten hard in this world. You don't know all the influences. You don't know everybody is living for themselves. Everybody is living for the world. Everybody because of music and because of entertainment and because of friends. Our children are bombarded, and because they're bombarded, I just don't know how to help them. Well, in the day and time we live in this story in 1 Samuel, things are really wicked. Even the priests and the high priests are away from God. There had been no open vision. God had not been speaking to individuals for a long time in Israel. It's coming right out of the time of the judges. And what is called the time of the judges, it says every man did that which was right in his own eye. Nobody wanted to live for God during this time. And despite all the great stories that are found in 1 Samuel, as we went through that book a few years ago, this is my favorite story. Because it all begins with this lady beseeching and begging God and seeking God, not only for a child, but I believe for a deliverer and a helper to help their nation. Let's look here in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and we're going to skip over some of it to try to get to the main part of the message. And it says, let's go to verse number 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. We see here that she was not able to have children. She was barren, is what the Bible would call it back in those days. And her adversary, and who's her adversary is Elkanah, her husband's other wife, provoked her sore. Says this woman would mock her because of the fact that she could not have children, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, and we see this man Elkanah, I think he was a help to this woman. I think he has a portion in this story. I think he allows Hannah to do what God has called her to do. And I think that's a wonderful step of faith by Elkanah. Elkanah just tries to help. But you know what? Elkanah cannot understand what Hannah is going through. Elkanah misunderstands. See, many times men, I know we try to help comfort our wives, but we fall short. Wives, that's why we need to learn to depend and rely on God and pray to God. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now, what a wonderful story. This woman had a need. And what did she do with her need? She went to God. She knew there was nothing that she could do in order to change her situation. She knew there was nothing that she could do in order to make things better for herself and for her husband. So what did she do? She did what only she could do, and that was cry out to God. There's some things I want you to look at today, and I think we can spiritually apply this to our life. Number one, Hannah was barren. The Bible says that the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, this is a heavy cloud that darkened her home and darkened her spiritual life. But I think this is a lesson that we can learn today and that we can apply today. For there are many who are spiritually, in a spiritual sense, that are barren. There's many who, in a spiritual sense, that are unfruitful. But there are few who will acknowledge it, and there is less that will want to seek after God and search after God and allow their heart to be broken about it. Why is it that we don't see more people saved? Why is it that we see more of our children going farther and farther into the world? Why is it that we see lack of fruit? Why is it that we do not see God working? Why is it that we see that God is not working and moving in our lives? And I believe it is that many of us are barren spiritually, and we are not working, and we are not laboring together in prayer, and that we are not working to the point that we could be and have God's blessings on our lives. Is our heart barren? Are we spiritually barren? Do we see God working? Do we see God answering our prayers? Do we see people being saved? Do we see people growing? Do we see God working in our hearts and lives? Just as Hannah was not able to have children, she could do nothing to fix it. Many people today, in the day and time that we live in, are spiritually barren and unfruitful in their lives, and they just would not admit it. They think, I come to church. I do what I'm supposed to do. There's nothing wrong with me. But you know what? I think our barrenness, our unfruitfulness, our lack of seeing God answer, our lack of seeing God work should give us a burden, and we should take that burden to God. You see, verse number five, he said that she was barren. In verse number six, it talks about how she was burdened, and how she was burdened because the adversary picked on her, and how the adversary did these things to her. But we see how she was burdened. I think I know she was burdened because she was burdened because she was willing to give this child back to God. I want to contend with you for a second. I want you to think about something for a second. I know everybody was thinking Hannah's focused on getting this child. Hannah's sad because she can't have a child. See, I think Hannah wants a child, but Hannah not only wants a child for herself, she wants a child to be able to give it back to God. See, God in that day and time did not have any man that was standing up for him. There was no man that was saying, hey, look, I'll be a leader. I'll be the priest. I'll be the one to lead this nation back to revival. There was no one that was going to be a deliverer. And I think Hannah was seeking after God, and she was praying, and she was begging God for a child, but not for herself, but also to give this back to the nation. Why else would she be willing to give her own child up? Why else would she have said, hey, look, we won't take any razor, we won't cut off his hair, because of the fact that he was going to take the Nazarite vow, that this child was going to be holy, dedicated, set apart for God. And she had a burden. Not only was she barren, but she was burdened for her nation, and she was burdened for the God of the nation, that the God of the nation would come in and would work and come through. I want us to understand something, that many people today are barren. Many times people today are just not serving God, not seeing fruit, not seeing God do anything in their lives, but there are a few people that will take that barrenness and make it a burden in their lives. There's a few people that will allow that to affect them. There are a few people that will allow that into their heart and say, you know what, God, there's something wrong. There's something that needs to change. There's something I need God's help with, and I'm going to seek after God for it. And you see, not only was she barren, but she was burdened, but she became broken. You know what? Some of us will get burdened. Some of us will even pray about it. Some of us might even come to the altar this morning and say, Lord, my life is barren. I'm not seeing the results that I want to see in my life that I think you want me to see. And it might even come burdened. It might even come important enough to us where we actually leave our pew and we actually pray and we actually seek after God for a little while. But it doesn't stop there for Hannah. Hannah was, not only was she burdened, she was broken. she let these things get, once again, Eli, we see that he marks her. She thinks that she's drunk. He misunderstands her. He criticizes her for her prayers. We see Peninnah, she mocks her prayers. We see that her husband misunderstands her. But praise God that she has someone she can turn to that does understand. Praise God that she becomes to the point that it says that she pours her heart out to God. She is broken to the point that she gets praise and she continues on praying. She prayed for the burden. Look what it says in verse number 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. If we are barren and we are burdened, if we let it break us enough to where we go to God in prayer. Look what it says in verse 16. It says, count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. She's saying, look, I'm brokenhearted. I want God to move in. I want God to give me a child, but I want to give this child back because my nation is in need. My nation needs a deliverer. My nation needs someone who's going to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to serve God no matter what anybody else does. She prays for this burden, and it is a privilege that we tell God everything in our prayers. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do with me? It's the idea here in our Christian lives that I think that we as individuals, especially mothers today, must realize that we need to be praying for our children. We need to get a burden for our nation and for our children and be seeking God and not just say, yes, I know there's a problem. Not just say, yes, I know there's an issue. Yes, I'm going to work on it someday. But come to the point where they become broken about it and approach God and continue to pray and continue to pray until they hear from God. Not only was she burdened and broken, she continues on praying. Look what it says in verse number 11. It says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So you see her here that she is praying. You see the request that she is making. It says in verse number 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm saying that not only did she come and let her heart be broken and pour her heart out to God, that after she made her request, she didn't stop there. She kept on praying. It's so much more than just saying one time and dedicating your child to the Lord and saying, hey, I stand before this church and saying that I'm giving this child back to God. That's just the beginning. I'm here to contend that this morning that we need to continue on praying and continue on praying and continue on praying and allowing our hearts to be broken for the things of God and for our children and for our nation, that we need to continue on praying. When is the last time we kept on praying? When is the last time we just continued on and continued on and sought after God and sought God's face and sought after his mercy and his grace? We don't deserve it. We don't deserve God's grace or mercy at all. But we see Hannah here saying, Lord, if you give me this, I'll give it back to you. And once she made her request, most of us would pack up, go back to the house, and eat. Be with her husband. That's not Hannah. Hannah hasn't gotten her answer yet. Hannah grabs a hold of God and is not willing to let go until she gets an answer. And sometimes I think this is what we need to do in our lives, is be more consistent. Many times when you hear about a praying mother, you don't hear about a praying mother that does it one time a year, twice a year. When revival comes around, or you know, a praying mother is one who's by the bedside most nights, if not all nights. Praying mother is one that gets up early in the morning and is crying out to God on behalf of their child. Did you have mothers like that? I had a mother that did that. And we could hear them pray, maybe when their child is out late and they want them to be safe and worried about what they may be doing, and they're by their bedside just praying and seeking God, asking God, keep them safe, keep them in your will, don't let the world get into them. And as they go off into college, they seek him anymore, even more, because they're having to let go of him a little bit and just praying and praying and praying. Do we have praying mothers like that today? We had prayings like mothers like that in the past. She poured out her soul. Look what it says in verse number 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Wow. She left it all there. She wept. She prayed. She gave it all over to God. So not only was she barren, and not only was she burdened, and not only was she broken, but she was blessed. Praise the Lord, she was blessed. Hannah here, she gets her answer to prayer. Look what it says in verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Hannah finds peace. I don't know about you, but sometimes that's one of the things parents don't find anymore nowadays, do they? They can't find peace. They're worried that their child's going to do this, or they're worried about their child going to do that, and they're fretting and they're worrying. But you know what the Bible tells us? Be anxious for nothing. Hannah finds peace. Hannah takes everything she has. She lays it all out there. And you know what she says? "God, I can't do this. I can't help this nation. I can't make myself have a child. I am pouring out my soul. I am giving it all over to you." And you know what she does? She finds peace after that. Parent, if you really truly want to find peace, just give it all over to God. Pour out your soul. Turn the anxiety in for peace. What a blessed change. Charles Spurgeon said, "I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. I remember her once praying, 'Now, Lord, if my children go in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they should perish. And my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of on Christ and claim him as their personal Savior.'" I like that, because Spurgeon said, you know what? You know what my mom said? First of all, he gives her respect. He says, "I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother." But he says that my mom gave me over to her. He said, "Hey, look, God, if they don't get saved, if they don't do things that are right, it's not going to be because I wasn't praying for them. If they choose not to accept you as Savior, it's not because of the fact that I didn't pray for that, or I didn't show them that, I didn't give them down that path." She was saying, "I gave it all to them that they need to succeed." And you know what? You may be here this morning. You may be here this morning, and you may have a mother that's praying for you. A mother that wants to see you saved. You may have friends that are praying for you and seeking out for you. You might have people that care for your soul and that are burdened for you and broken for you and begging God to speak to your heart. And this morning, I beseech you, I beg you to give consideration that if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Because if your answer is that you're not sure, let us take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can become a Christian. But there are mothers that will beg and pray. But the wonderful thought of this is that we can give our hearts over to peace. I know that there are ladies that and men that maybe their children have gone off wayward, and that doesn't stop them from praying. That doesn't stop them. They don't give up for that, but they know that they've done everything they could, and they've given it all over to God. And when the Bible says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus," they can say that I have prayed and I've done what I could. I'm going to let God take care of the rest. Many times we're anxious today and we're worried and we're fretful is because we don't have the praying mothers and the fathers like we used to. We also see not only does she lay herself out and her bears her burden, but this causes her to change her countenance. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, "And she said, 'Let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight.' So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad." She knew that she had given everything over to God, and this changed her countenance. She didn't wait for the answer. Now this man Eli, who was the high priest of the day, wasn't living for God. We talked about this last year, how Eli, where was Eli was? Eli was sitting here. He was sitting by a post. Now, was Israel good during this time? No, Israel was in wickedness. His own two sons were in wickedness. And Eli was sitting there. Hannah's pouring out her heart. Don't we see the difference here? Eli, the man of God that should have been praying, that should have been seeking, that should have been on his face, begging and pleading God. And he goes and he watches this woman. And you know what? He thinks something strange. He hasn't seen someone pray like that for a long time. He thinks that that woman must be drunk. He thinks that there's something wrong with that woman, that that woman must be doing something wrong. It's because he hasn't heard from God in a long time. And this woman is over there. He goes over and calls her a drunkard. Oh, Christian, which one would better describe us? Because we are all really good at sitting and watching someone else pray and saying, "Hey, that person needs to be praying. That person needs this. There must be something wrong with them." We criticize them and we look down upon them and we wonder. But you know what? That's where we all need to be, is there praying and seeking God and begging God. Do we have the praying mothers that we used to have? Do we have the praying fathers? Do we have those that are seeking God on the behalf of their nation and their church family? Or are we like the Elis of the world that we show up to the church service and we sit back and we watch others pray, but we ourselves don't pray? Not only do we see this, but we see that she worships God. Look at this next phrase, and this is probably my favorite part of the story. It says, and they rose up, in verse number 19, they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. You say, Pastor, that means after she had her child, she worshiped before the Lord. No. And that means, Pastor, that after she knew she was pregnant, that she worshiped God. No. It says that after she rose up early in the morning, after what? After she poured her heart out to God. After she had made peace with God, after she had changed her countenance, after she had gone from fasting to eating again, she goes and she worships God. She knows she's done what she could, and she left the rest to God. You know what? God answers her prayer. She pays the vow back that she has given her, and as she pays back this vow, she gives her child over to God. And as she was praying for, we see 1 Samuel open up, and we see God speak to Samuel in chapter number 3. We see this man grow into this child, grow into a man after God's own heart, in a sense, and he brings revival to the nation. He raises that stone of Ebenezer, and we see God use this man in a great and mighty way. He anointed King Saul. He anointed King David. God used this man mightily. But where does it begin? It begins with a praying mother. This morning, I'm not hiding the purpose of the message at all. The message, I hope, brings forth loud and clear. Are we really truly praying? Yes, it is first to the mothers, because, man, the traditions that I have heard, the stories that I've read, the illustrations that I've read throughout the week, praying mothers change people's lives. And they can find peace because they've given their child over to God. But it doesn't just stop with mothers. I had never known that. I wasn't expecting my mom to say that this morning. But there was a woman that was not her mother who had come and knocked on the door and said, hey, can I take your little girls to church? And then for years after, even after they stopped going to that church, years later, that lady says, I'm still praying for you, and I pray for you often. And my mom, who was probably, like I said, one of the biggest spiritual influences in my life, said, because of that woman's prayers, it changed my life. And in a sense, you know what? Because that woman's prayers changed her life, caused her prayers to change my life. But do we have women that are praying like that today? Things haven't gotten better. They've gotten worse. We need more people praying like that. Now, men, you're not off scot-free. We need to seek after God. You go and you look in here and you see, I know we hear the stories about praying mothers, but you know what? The Bible's filled more with about men seeking after God than women seeking after God because of the position that they have. So men, don't say, oh, this is a great message for mothers. My wife, my mom, you know, they need to pray more. No, we need to pray more. You say, Pastor, this is a pretty tough message to take on a Mother's Day. As we've been talking, is do we really want the truth? Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? We need some praying mothers and grandmothers. We need some people that maybe God is not blessed with children. And I know this can be a tough day for some of those. And I know it can be a tough day for those who lost their mothers recently. I know it can be a tough day when we look back on this day when our mothers might not have been someone who did lead us to Christ and who did pray for us. And that today they might even be unsaved. But you know what? We all need to be praying like this. We need to allow our barrenness to burden us and to break us to the point where we will be blessed because we gave everything over to God. This morning, are you a praying mother? Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet for a time of invitation.